I met together 2 weeks ago, and I said it was my fault that we were having the cold temperatures, because I'm doing a mini-series, and two of them back-to-back, one Thanksgiving and one Christmas. And so I guess I have to take the blame for the cold weather continuing and the snow we've been having. So I'm going to go to out of town next week with my wife, and we're going to go visit one of the states that we haven't been to. We're going to try to go and visit Oklahoma. So Lord willing, when we get that done, we only have 5 states left. We've been on a quest to visit all 50, and so we have an opportunity to be the timeshare. People keep bugging us, and I said, okay, where do you want us to go? They said, have you ever been to Branson? I said, no. So we decided to take up an offer to go to Branson to listen to that 90 minutes spiel. So I have to take my flashcards with me that says, no, 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 I want to go now. Can I leave? So we figured while we're that far in southern Missouri, we're just around the corner from Oklahoma. So we're going to try to, we've been in every state all the way around Oklahoma, but haven't been to Oklahoma. So that's a little quest we started years ago when we went to Bible college. In Montana, and on the way out and the way back, we had already visited like 20 states. We said, let's try to visit all of them. So we're getting one every once in a while. So thank you all for allowing us to be away for just a little bit in the year and get ready to start a new year. And Lord willing, Brother Jeff will be with me. I'll be with you. And we'll be hearing how God's working his life and allow him to preach next week. So be an encouragement to him next week. So I was hoping to do 3 parts, but I'm going to be preaching what I had planned to preach last week, and then maybe when I come back, I'll finish the 3rd part, and we'll get to a little bit further into the Christmas message. So I started 2 weeks ago a series called A Season of Good Tidings. So today is a season of good tidings, too. The first good tidings we talked about was 2 weeks ago was to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zacharias and Elizabeth. Today's good tidings for Mary. Good tidings for Mary and Luke chapter 1. The good tidings continue as we peer into the life, just a little bit, of Mary, the Virgin Mary, the one that God sent the angel Gabriel to come and share this wonderful message to her. So as you take in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 26 to 38. Luke chapter 1, 26 to verse number 38. So stand as we give honor and reverence to the Word of God as it stood in the book of Ezra, as the Word of God was proclaimed after they came back from exile. It's a good way as we continue to realize and recognize that we hold in our hands the wonderful Word of God, the Word of life. And the Bible tells us, and in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. And you might be wondering, what 6th month? Well, the Bible will explain that a little bit later. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail! Or listen, pay attention. He was bringing a greeting. Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? She was asking a very important question. I know not a man. The marriage is pending. It's not taking place yet. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, shall come unto thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that Holy One which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is a sixth month with her. So I believe that's what that sixth month had referred to earlier. And who was barren? And with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Father, thank you for this great Bible narrative that explains to us so many things that we need to know about the birth, the pending birth of the Savior. That Mary, being highly favored, is an amazing instrument of your goodness and grace, not just to her, but to the entire world, to those that were living at that time, to those that were born prior and putting their faith in God and his promises, to us that were born after as we look back to your coming promise through your Son. So, Father, help us once again to marvel at this appearance, this message of this angel, and help us to know the good tiding that Mary shared is a good tiding to us also. We pray in Christ's name. You have blessed our time together, and all God's people together said, amen. May you be seated. We're not told in the Bible here how much Mary knew about what was going on with Zacharias and Elizabeth. It was good news, and they certainly were related, as we learned. They were cousins. We're told in verse 24 that Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months. Now, when somebody is hiding herself for a while, word gets around, doesn't it? Elizabeth hasn't been out. I wonder if she's not well. I wonder if this has something to do with the fact that Zechariah couldn't speak. I wonder if this has something to do with Zechariah telling us that he saw an angel. And so people were thinking, people were speculating, and all kinds of things were going on. It's a lot. God was doing an amazing thing, and when God is doing something, he is getting people's attention. He wants them to be drawn into what he's doing and see what he's doing. With this angelic message that Zechariah received, it was enough to garner some attention to get Mary probably thinking on that after the angel left. It was a confirming thing for her that it just didn't happen to Mary, but it happened to Elizabeth only. I can only imagine that Mary was, during this time, rejoicing with Elizabeth. Anytime we find that someone's having a baby, or it'll be a joyful time, no matter the circumstances. And we found out recently that Connie's niece is expecting with her first child. We found out this past week it's a baby boy from the ultrasound. And so that's an exciting time. I'm already thinking about what I'm going to make in the workshop for this coming great nephew. It's an exciting time. And so it was for them. Things were going on. Two women were now pregnant, kin to each other, godly people, and so God was doing something very special. From all we know, the day that the angel Gabriel arrived to speak to Mary was just an ordinary day. Now, for Zacharias, it was not an ordinary day we saw 2 weeks ago. He had been chosen by lots drawn for him to go in into the temple and carry out this very important part of the temple worship. But for Mary, we don't know what she's doing. There's been pictures done of it. Mary was maybe in a house. Maybe she was at a well. Maybe she was cooking. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. There's a lot of things about the Christmas teaching that's added as tradition. A lot we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us how they traveled to Bethlehem. The Bible doesn't tell us who owned the where they stayed. It said the innkeeper didn't have a room. We don't know exactly where they stayed. We don't even know if the stable belonged to the innkeeper. It's a lot we don't know. But what we do know, we find in the Word of God, and we want to concentrate on that. Elizabeth was part of what God was doing. Zechariah was part of what God was doing. God had said, Elizabeth and Zechariah, this child is going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. So when Mary got that information, I'm sure it helped confirm the message the angel had given to her. But
There was a lot for her to go through yet. How was she going to tell Joseph? The Bible doesn't tell us how she told Joseph. Did she tell him? Did somebody else tell him? Did rumor get around? We don't know. There's a lot we don't know. You know, heaven's going to be great. It's going to be an opportunity, I believe, for us to answer some questions in heaven. There's some things we probably wonder about that we want to find out when we get to heaven. Some of the things that we want to know won't make any difference when we get to heaven. But I think there'll be some things as we continue to study the Bible in heaven, maybe we can ask Jesus, or if Jesus has somebody else to teach us in heaven, we can get some of the places in between the verses filled in that we don't know. But let's look at the good tidings a little bit that Mary received, just as Zacharias had received good tidings. Number one, a good tiding of Mary being favored. There was a good tiding that Mary was favored. We find that in verse number 28 and verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now, when the Bible said God is with you, that was something very special in the Old Testament. Sometimes we as New Testament Christians, because we know we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we may take that for granted from time to time. But to be told in the Old Testament, God is with you, meant that God had a special task, a special job for you to be carrying out. And so the angel announced this to her twice, that she was highly favored. Once to proclaim his arrival, and secondly, to prepare her, I believe, for the bulk of the message that he was going to give to her. Notice that the angel said that she was favored amongst women. She's not the only woman that's ever received God's favor, but she has a high place of being favored. Only one has ever had the ability to proclaim that they carried the Messiah. Jesus, when he was on the earth, he warned us that throughout time, between the time he would be ascended back into heaven and between the time he would come again, he said there will be many false Christs who will come. Many will come out and say, come out to this mountain, come out to this place, come here. I am the Christ, I am the second Christ, I am Christ coming again. No one can claim that with truth. Only Mary is going to be able to say she carried the Christ. All these false teachers that come along, they cannot go back and say, my mother was carrying Christ. Only Mary can say that. This great tiding that she received, that she was highly favored, she was highly, the grace of God was going to be upon her in a way, amazing way. Favored highly. Mary, as far as we know, from all Scripture telling us and putting the rest of Scripture together, Mary was an ordinary person that God was going to use for an extraordinary purpose. Mary, sometimes by some groups, is painted as sinless. There's some that carry with them the doctrine that Mary was conceived without original sin. That Mary was sinless her entire life. That Mary remained a virgin her entire life. The Bible does not confirm either one of those. Actually, the Bible teaches the opposite of both of those. The Bible teaches us that Jesus had earthly brothers and sisters. One time he was with the disciples, and they said to him, Jesus, your mother and your brother and sister are out, want to speak with you. And Jesus said, who are my mother and my brother and my sisters? He was getting people to see from his earthly family to his spiritual family was the main reason he came. So he was with the disciples, and there were brethren out here. And so some were saying, well, those brethren meant his disciples. No, the disciples and the brethren, natural brothers, were both there. Mary was highly favored, but was she sinless? No, she was not sinless. So sometimes people will say that. How do we know that? We know that because what Romans 3:10 says. For there is none righteous, no, not one. Later on in that same chapter, Romans, the Bible says in verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Mary was highly favored, but Mary needed salvation just like you and I. Mary needed to receive the fact that Christ was her only hope, that his blood was being shed on that cross. As she cried that day, as she sat there, as she mourned his death, she had come to the realization that that death was also for her. She was favored, but she wasn't sinless. Many in the Bible have been favored. God has been upon them, but everyone needed to be forgiven. So did Mary. But she was highly favored. Number two, good tiding for Mary. Of becoming pregnancy. We find that mentioned several times here, four times at least, just in these verses, in verse 31, 34, 35. For Mary, this was more than just good news. This was unbelievable information. Mary, you're going to be with child. The way that Mary receives that and responds and says, how can that be? It makes me believe that Mary received that. This is going to happen real soon. Mary knows from the message of the angel, this is not going to be after this pending wedding because of the questions that she asked. Thankfully, every question that she asked and inquired, the angel had the very answer she needed. Mary was the original one that we could say inquiring minds needed to know. She was asking, hey, how can this be? I know I'm looking forward to get married. This is exciting news for me, but you're telling me I'm going to be with child real soon? Before that day? And so the Bible tells us these good tidings come to Mary of her coming pregnancy. The pregnancy was going to be amazing for at least five things I see here in this verses. Five things that tell us this pregnancy is going to be so amazing. Number one, the pregnancy would be in her womb. And I think I mentioned this last year, that I just recently learned this, how important it is, the wording here. When it tells Mary, you will be pregnant within your womb. That's not normal. They may have not understood that then, but we understand through science now. A woman becomes pregnant in her fallopian tubes. And then the fertilized egg would descend out of the fallopian tubes into the womb. If she stays pregnant within the fallopian tubes, we call it a fallopian pregnancy, and medical attention needs to take place. The angel's telling her that's going to bypass that step, and you're going to become pregnant in your womb, so it's not medically normal pregnancy. That's very important. The virgin birth is a doctrine that so many doubt today. They take the virgin Mary and take virgin just to mean a young maiden, but not in the classical sense. It's so important that she is a virgin in the classical sense because she's not. She inherits the sin of Adam and Eve just like you and I. Jesus inherits the sin. Let me correct myself. Jesus did not inherit the sin. She did not carry a sinful child. Number two, the pregnancy would be the working of the Holy Ghost. Of the Holy Spirit. That's not normal. Holy Spirit's all around. He's omnipresent. He sees it. God knits us together in a mother's womb. But this is greater than that. Not even when God sent forth the first two people, did God say that you're going to be having a child, or you're going to be delivered as a child through the Holy Spirit. Not even when we studied 2 weeks ago about John the Baptist, he would be filled with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit would not cause the pregnancy. Only in Mary is the Holy Spirit causing the pregnancy. That's why we know he's the Son of God. Thirdly, the pregnancy would be by the power of God. God would be the Father because he would be called the Son of God, not a Son of God, but the Son of God. That article, the, is very important. The Son of God. You and I, when we are born again, we're adopted into God's family. We become a child of God. We become a daughter of God. We become a son of God. But we can never be called the Son of God. That's a title only for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because of his virgin birth. Fourthly, the pregnancy would be connected to the pregnancy of Elizabeth that Elizabeth was experiencing. The angel told her, your cousin Elizabeth's pregnant. There's something special about that. And your pregnancy takes it up a notch. Your pregnancy is even more special than that pregnancy. And that was a confirming piece of information.
A great work, a great moving of God was taking place around Bethlehem and Jerusalem and now up in Galilee where Mary was in Nazareth. Thirdly, the good tidings of Mary's child, he was the Christ. We find that in the verse 32 to 35. He's the Christ. Christ and Messiah have the same meaning. Christ is more the Greek term for that. Messiah is the Hebrew term for that. It means expected one, appointed one, anointed one, the God-ordained one that was told all the way back to Adam and Eve. And so we find the good tidings, Mary's child, he was the Christ. Verse 32 to 35. And shall be great. Shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore the Holy One shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God.
This passage here reminds me so much of Isaiah 9:6. It fits so much together.
What Isaiah was prophesying, a virgin will be with child, and then he will be born, and we will call him all these wonderful names that can only be attributed to God himself. All the characteristics
that we have here are why we worship him. Look at some of them with us.
The child, number one, the child would have the name Jesus.
The name means to save, to deliver. God names the child, and he said his name means Savior, deliverer. Now Moses and Joshua and many of the judges had been deliverers. Moses delivered the people from the bondage of Egypt. Joshua delivered them into the promised land to have a great victory and take the promised land just in 7 years of battling nation after nation who were well established in the land. Many of the judges were used by God to raise up and lead them and save them from their enemies. And they were all being saved in those times primarily from their physical enemies. But Jesus came as a greater Savior to save us physically from death and sin and the curse of sin, but greater the spiritual life that he gives. Greater than Moses. Jesus told the people one day, one greater than Abraham is with you. You saw the works of Moses, but I do works that are greater than Moses. And so his name would be Jesus. This child would be the one they waited upon, who would set them free from that bondage that they all had been wanting for. They thought they needed a physical deliverance. They had gotten so wrapped up in the fact that they were under the bondage of other nation after nation after nation after nation once they had been overtaken year after year. Now they were under the Roman rule during the days of Jesus' ministry, and they were so wrapped up in the fact they were under human bondage they forgot that they were under spiritual bondage. That's why we love Jesus so much that he came to set us free. The second of all, the angels tell her the child will be great. I wonder if Mary had thoughts of this when the angel said that he will be great. When Mary and Joseph frantically look for Jesus when he was 12 years old, and they go in and they find him in the temple teaching the teachers. Teaching the instructors of the law. I wonder if this came to his mind. When the Bible says the angel told her, he will be great. And they go in and they said, wow. The Bible says after the episode that Mary kept these things in her heart and she pondered it. She resonated on them. She meditated upon them. This child is taking place like God said. You know, there's been things in our life that we've heard or happened to us. And they're so amazing and so wonderful. And sometimes in the busyness of life and other things going on, we look back on them and think, did that really happen? You ever felt like that? Did that really happen to me? Did that really good thing happen? Or did that terrible thing make me feel from that terrible thing we think, am I just imagining it didn't really happen? I wonder if Mary ever had those thoughts. Did I really see an angel? Did I really, am I? No. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. Well, maybe she did.
You know what the enemy that we all have, Satan, would want us to do? Doubt what God says. Remember in the garden, Adam and Eve, when the angel through the serpent said to Eve, did God really say that? Remember trying to use the same trick on Jesus in the wilderness and the temptation? Well, God says his word, this, but he was taken out of context. The devil, I'm sure, wanted Mary to doubt over and over many times. I'm sure from time to time, the devil would want us to doubt. Am I really saved? Did Christmas really this? Did Jesus really come from God? Is he really God in the flesh? But the Bible told her he will be great. Other times around the house, things that Jesus said, insights that he had. Mary and Joseph, how did he know that? Oh, yeah, that's right. We got to remember who he is. He's great. He is the Son of the Holy One. He is the Child of the Most High. What a responsibility. You think we got big responsibilities? How would you like to have a responsibility Mary and Joseph had? Raising Jesus. Wow. That's an amazing responsibility. But you and I have a responsibility. We carry God within our heart through the Spirit. What a responsibility we have to be temples of the Most High God. The Bible says, know you not that you are temples of God in the New Testament? We carry a major responsibility, too, to carry him around and to let him be known. Thirdly, the child will be called the Son of the Highest. Fourthly, the child will be given the throne of David. And that's important. When we look at Matthew and we look at Luke and we have these genealogies, why are they important? They're important because it traces back to the promises God gave to Abraham, that God gave to Jacob, God gave to David. That they came through the line. He meets the criteria. That's why they're recorded. That those during that day could look and say, well, that's right. The temple records sometimes would bear that out. And when they took Jesus to the temple later and to have him for them to give their offering and they took him there for a circumcision, that was recorded history. The people during the days of Jesus could verify. It really bothers me when people come along in modern day and they try to write these books and try to claim the Bible is not true by what they think they know today, when those during the day of Jesus couldn't dispute it because there was physical records to verify who he was, what he said, what he did. Somebody's going to come along 2,000 years later and know more than the people that knew that day? Not possible. Fifthly, the child will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Wow. Don't leave off that part of that sentence, forever. Jacob was the leader or the patriarch of the Israelites for a period of time. Abraham was for a period of time. David was for a period of time. Each one of the kings in the Old Testament, for a period of time, they reigned over the house of Israel. But this one that's born of you, Mary, through the power of God, will reign forever. That's amazing. King of kings and Lord of lords, forever and for always, and on and on and on. His reign, his kingdom will know no end. The child, and that's the next one, it says the child will have a kingdom that will know no end. That's a good reference to the everlasting life that he would bring. That's a good reference, I believe, also to our eternal security that we have in Christ. The Bible says in John 3:16, as we know so well, that when we ask for forgiveness, we ask for life, he gives us what kind of life? Life till we sin again? Life till we get really down in the gutter again? No, he gives us what kind of life? Everlasting life. He seals us with
his seal of the Holy Spirit forever and ever.
And then next, the child will be the Son of God. That's a repeat there for a reminder. Yes, you hear me right, Mary. He will be the Son of God. You will carry him. Joseph is not his full-fledged father. He's going to be the surrogate father, so to speak. He's going to be the adopted father. He's going to be the earthly father, but he is the Son of God. That's why we, as Christians, take a whole month to celebrate Christmas, because it's so wonderful that he came. Are you celebrating? Is your heart rejoicing at these good tidings that Mary received? Because these good tidings were for us too. These good tidings have been passed down to us. They're great tidings for Mary, and they're great tidings when we first heard of Christ. How old were you when you first heard of Christ? How old were you when you first heard of Jesus? Many of us were very young. Sometimes when we hear of Jesus very young, if we're not careful, it just kind of becomes routine. Just kind of becomes, you know, part of, it's always been part of me. But think about some other folks that don't hear about Jesus until maybe they're in their 20s or 30s. Some of the most fired up people for Jesus I've ever met are people that meet Jesus later in life. Think about the people in other countries where they don't have a Bible to access the stories and the teachings about Jesus again and again, and they get to receive it for the first time. Or some of the nations, some of the tribes around the world that people are trying to reach, they only have one book of the Bible. A lot of times they start out, when they translate a book of the Bible, they start with the book of John, because it is written to remind us that Jesus is the Son of God. Good tidings when we heard of Jesus the first time. But the great tidings, or the good tidings that Mary received, that we heard as a child, they're good tidings for us when we hear it again and again and again and again. I'm not real big on watching TV shows over too much. Every once in a while I watch a ball game over again. For many years I had the 1991 Super Bowl championship of the Washington Redskins on VHS tape. It was fun because, you know what? After 1991, there hadn't been too many good seasons. So I'd pop it in every once in a while. Why? Because I wanted some good news about my favorite team that didn't come along very often. And I never got tired of watching it. Now, some of you might have a movie you like to watch over and over again. I have a friend that he watches some movies so much he can almost quote the thing all the way through. He just enjoys watching them over and over again. I'm not really like that. Now, when it comes to music, I can certainly say there's some music that I listen to over and over again. I inherited that from my dad. He was a music collector, and I got his record collection. It's almost 300 volumes, and I've got a few of my own. More than a few of my own records. And there's some songs that when they come on already, it's just really like. And there's some songs that you know, you. It's so nice having a CD player, isn't it? Could you just hit that little button and go back? Do you remember the old hard days, difficult days? You had to hit rewind. Oh, that looks like far enough. Oh, no, went back too far. Oh, then you go for it and went too far. We had a hard back in the day, Lindsay Whitney. Yeah, we had a hard. Sure, I'm sorry. And then you remember the old days when you had the phonograph for the 33 record player, and you had your favorite song, you had to reach over and real easily pick it up and try to drop it back over where that heart and that deeper groove was and drop it in the right spot. Oh, got it. I can pick it up, move it back over. Why? You want to hear it over and over again. We need to pray and ask God to help our hearts to never get tired. Never let the Christmas story lose its wonder. Never lose the marvel factor of the great fact that God sent his Son, born of a virgin, to be sinless and to obtain life for us. But there's another good tiding here. There's the good tiding of, though there are plenty, there are a bunch, there are a lot of people who've never heard the good tidings that we've heard. And let's do our best to share in some way the good tidings.
Maybe there's someone, you know, we just got a couple days, and maybe it won't happen until after Christmas, but you haven't sent a Christmas card to. You haven't sent a text to. Think about sending a Christmas card. We can find some gospel message and put in the Christmas card. I miss not having a Christian bookstore to run to. We got to order things. You used to have a couple Christian bookstores around. I think, oh, I want to go send somebody a really cool card. I want to really send them a gospel tract. We could just run out and buy one real quick. But think about that. Maybe that's a way you need to witness to someone soon. Send them the message about Jesus. Maybe just take your computer and print out Luke chapter 2 and put it in the Christmas card and send it as a message and pray for it. And pray for them as you send it. That other people that we know that haven't heard or haven't received. Maybe, you know, there's many people that heard. But we live in a culture now that we could probably go out on the street and ask people more than ever before, what does Christmas really mean? And people will have a lot of different ideas. And unfortunately, a lot of them aren't biblical. Or maybe they do have that biblical idea, and we can use it as a springboard. Yes, you're right, Jesus was born. Now, have you received the gift personally? We all received it into the world, but have you received him personally? Use the good tidings of Christmas as an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. So it'll be a personal good tiding for them, just as it was a personal good tiding for Mary, just as it's a personal good tiding for us. But there's someone out there that we know, someone in our family, someone that we live by, that hasn't received this as a personal good tiding, needs to hear it. May God help us to share it with them.